This is the ZMAR Podcast. Elite Benefits of America helps small and mid-sized companies with their health insurance programs. And now, your host, Butch ZMAR.
All right, welcome back to the show. I have Kate DeLeo back with me. She was on the podcast a couple years ago. She's got a lot going on, so I invited her back to talk about what's going on with Kate. Welcome back.
Thank you so much for having me. It's always good to see you.
Oh, absolutely. And now you've been really, really busy. So we've actually rescheduled this like, I don't know, three or four times. And I'm not pointing that out. I'm just saying how busy you are. So like, give us a little snapshot of what you're working on, because you're traveling a lot. You're working on this product that you're releasing now. So give us a little background on what's going on.
Yeah, absolutely. So this last year and a half has been a ton of change in my business in a good way. I mean, we went from been a consultant for many, many years, you know, helping companies build brands and taking them through these short-term, you know, 4 to 6 week projects where we're coming out the other end with their core sales messaging written. And they're ultimately like, what's the message that's going to help them get more clients, right? Now, what happened is I decided to transition because I wrote the book, Butch, and I wrote a book that really just documents my whole methodology of how, what's the 1, 2, 3 that you need to go through to actually build a brand that's going to be the path of least resistance to revenue. So that was my first step. And you've been a huge just supporter of that. So thank you. And then I made the crazy decision to digitize that. So ultimately for me to scale and grow my business, you know, being a mom of four when I'm not, you know, working, it's how do I help more companies without being tied to a Zoom call? And so really for me, it was building a digital platform that allows people to go through my brand building process in a much lower price point and extremely quick time frame, only a matter of weeks to come out the other end with the right brand message outcomes. So that's actually what we just launched this fall here of 2023, and it's called the Brand Trifecta.
Let's talk about how, again, just to so those who haven't listened to the previous podcast, how you came up with the Brand Trifecta, and where is it, you know, where is it taking you over the last 5 years or so you've been working on it?
Yeah, so really, the Brand Trifecta is a name I came up with for a very simple messaging model, which that I stumbled across by pure necessity through a cold call sales job that I took in my 20s. You know, I was, if you rewind, the market had crashed and I took the sales job and I was cold calling IT professionals to sell them training classes. And, you know, they give you all the scripts and they give you this big database and they're saying, hey, smile and dial 40, 60 to dial a day. Good luck. And nothing was working. And I had to sit back and think, well, if I were on the other end of this phone call, what would I actually want to know to remotely want to have a conversation here and talk about buying a $2,000 training class? And so, Butch, honestly, for me, it was just taking a step back and thinking logically about what would I want to tell them and what would I want to hear? And so I decided to call these folks up and just simply say, hey, my name's Kate. I'm with such and such company. This is what we do. This is how we solve your problem. This is how we're different. 1, 2, 3. It ended up working. And what I didn't know at the time is that that was actually a core brand pitch. What do you deliver in that first 30 seconds that compels that other person to want to opt in and go deeper in the conversation? So long story short, I got recruited out to go build brand, go build this for other companies, and then built my own consulting company after there was a demand there. And so I've spent now almost 10 years building brands and helping people go through this Brand Trifecta model. So that ultimately they're developing a message that sounds like them, it seems like them, but I think most importantly, it's deeply resonating at a heart level with their target audiences and ultimately compelling that other group to go, okay, I want to take the next step and buy here. So that's the Brand Trifecta.
Awesome. And I know last time we had talked that before you had published the book and then now the software that you actually created an entire playbook for your clients. It wasn't a small 2-3 page playbook. It was actually had a lot of substance that they could take it and go do it on their own. Is that does that still exist with all the new changes you made?
Yeah. When I consult with clients, we start with a 40 page brand playbook. So really, so if I thought about this logically, right, I always thought, okay, how do I not reinvent the wheel every single time I'm in the room with somebody? How do I also make sure that I'm getting the best possible outcomes for every client? So honestly, I just got a Microsoft Word document and I just started to write down the pattern of like, when I ask these questions and when I take them through these exercises, oh, and when I do it in this order, always seem to get the best brand outcomes for the client. And so I just started building that and it expanded. It started as like a 10-page playbook many years ago to now it's over 40 pages. But what I love about having a playbook, no matter what we do for work, especially for in the services industry, is that I'll tell you what, there's something really powerful about having that fixed deliverable that I know I can deliver on as a consultant and that my clients feel like they're walking away with. That I didn't just talk at them, but that we have documented outcomes that they keep going back to every single time.
No, and you hit a great point because I know even in our industry, one of the issues that I always say my peer groups, no matter how long they've been in the business, no matter how successful they are, every transaction is different. And and it's not a scalable model for one, but on two, it creates mediocrity in the sales process, right? And also service, right? And so, and I'm not perfect by any means. Over time, we recently created our own playbook, and it's working out. But again, it's not a perfect system. And we kind of work through and we're trying to put not only the sales side, but move it on the service side. So that way, when people buy the product, they know what they're getting and they actually get what they actually thought they were getting. And it's in a repeatable format. So that way, they're not dependent on one good, huge, you know, awesome employee. And hopefully I always have good, awesome employees, but it never always works out for everybody. But at least if we have good, solid employees, the process is still the same. Over time, you had put all this together and you decided to publish a book. And this is actually like a year and a half ago that you first published. And then you revamped it a little bit and then republished it. So can you talk a little bit about, because it's an interesting title, because we do have this trend that's going on about storytelling and people storytell. And it's probably a good stepping stone because the traditional model is I've been in business since 1955 and we have great service, right? And so like it takes a transition from there to telling a story about what the process is for their clients. But taking a step further, you had titled the book Muting the Megaphone. And so can you share a little bit of the background, not only on the title, how you came up with just, you know, muting the megaphone, but also like what people could expect about the book if they decided to go out and purchase it?
Yeah, you know, really the book Muting, the title of it, Muting the Megaphone, came down to, I think, the current state of the union as it comes to marketing, which is that I think for most of us as consumers, Butch, we are just inundated with information. Do you remember when sales funnels, these long sales funnel pages came on the scene 5+ years ago?
Oh, yeah.
And
oh, yeah.
You'd hit a website. It was just like you didn't even know where to click. There were 75 buttons. You're like, am I purchasing a course? What am I buying? And I think that for most of us, we got into this era where we thought more is more. Oh, and I've got to do content marketing and I've got to tell them all the things because if I don't tell them all the features and benefits, then they're not going to buy. But actually, what we're seeing is that consumers want to get back to the basics. They're desperate for brands and organizations that cut the crap and get down to the 1, 2, 3 things that they need to know before they decide they're going to opt in and go deeper with you. Ultimately, my book unpacks what are those 1, 2, 3 things. And again, I call it the brand trifecta, but the three things based on buyer psychology are, number one, tell me what you do. Number two, tell me how you solve my problem. And number three, tell me how you're different and better than the competition. In that order, it's based on buyer psychology. And so in the world of messaging and marketing, what that actually looks like is a series of very clear, crisp sentences, not a big convoluted story. It's your tagline, tell me what you do, a value proposition statement, which is like 1 or 2 sentences that says, here's how we solve your problem. And then a simple set of bullet points, Butch, that says 1, 2, 3, 4, here's how we're better than the competition. We have made it all about us with storytelling. And what I'm trying to help people understand is get back to the basics of what your customers actually want to know to take the next step.
Yeah. And you know what, you led into one of the, I actually bookmarked a page. You walk through like what a PowerPoint should be, you know, the slide deck and then just some sales material. But what I liked, because you want to make things as simple as possible. People's attention spans are very short, but I just highlighted, and I want to highlight it on the podcast, is the one page sales sheet. And it literally, like, yeah, I didn't prep you for that. And so you literally just walk through everything that's on there. Obviously, it's your product, but like you state who you are, but not, just company name, logo, and tagline, right? Like no, like 1955. You know, Paul Revere created, you know, the copper company, right? Like nobody cares, right? And then, you know, like you said, state the problem and how you solve it. How are you different than the rest of the competition? And you added in here that state how it works or what it looks like. And, you know, how do you engage with the company, right? It's a call to action, right? So keeping it simple, right? Because, yes. And you write those long pages, and I still run into them. Like, even though, like, there might be somebody I'm even connected with, and I'm like, oh, he's got an interesting book, and I'll support the guy, and I'm interested in the topic. I have to scroll all the way down to the bottom and say, click, I'll pay for the shipping right now. Like, but you have to get all the way to the bottom in order to get to it.
And to me, it fascinates me that we would do this to somebody else, because do we want to have that happen to ourselves? No, we don't. You know, here's the thing. Like, when we think about how organizations are going to scale to the next level, the reason that I harp on this idea of a simple, short, but powerful brand trifecta message is because ultimately your brand is supposed to be your path of least resistance to revenue. Mm-hmm. And it's the glue that really holds together your marketing and sales teams and those operational functions. You can't grow if you're all working off of a different message or a different playbook. So it might sound fluffy to say, oh, brand, but let me be clear here. This is the message that we live and speak day in and day out. Mm-hmm. What do you say when you walk into the room? What do you say on the Zoom call? What do you actually deliver on your website, your one pagers, your proposals, your slide decks? Mm-hmm. This is about a consistency of a message that when those customers continue to see that and experience that, they're like, yes, these people get me. This is exactly what I'm talking about. That's the purpose of this.
There's a ton that you just mentioned, and I could see somebody listening to this and being a little bit overwhelmed. If there was one place that they should start during that process, whether it's the sales side, the marketing side, or the back end where the service is, where should they start with, hey, let's build this brand, let's do it right from the get-go?
I would say that the number one thing that you can do is start with your core, what I consider your sales message. So let me explain what I mean by that. Yeah. So in the world of messaging and in general, I think often a lot of us think when we think of brand, we think of things like our vision statement, our mission statement, our values. And those are super important.
Sure.
But I think your number one layer of defense, like I always say, it's like your first line of defense for any organization to grow and to get aligned, is to make sure that you've got your tagline nailed, that everybody's rallying around the same, like, what do we do? So if somebody asks you, what do? Can you actually answer that in 5 or 6 words? And is everybody saying the same thing? Do you have a couple sentences that describe the value proposition statement? And are you all speaking off the same set of differentiators? These three pieces, when sales and marketing and leadership all together get aligned on that, the beauty is then you can start to make sure that you're delivering processes and procedures to deliver on that promise. Oh, then you've got consistencies in all your materials. Then marketing knows that they're delivering the same message outbound that sales is getting inbound as well. You've got to start with the brand because it's ultimately dictating where you're going.
Totally makes sense. And I think that's why you end up creating software for all this, right? So you can help people walk through this. And from my understanding, I didn't dive into it a whole lot, but it sounds like it's at their own pace, right? So it's not like you have to get it done. Like, hey, I think there is a time frame a little bit, but it's not like they're missing one class. They can go back and review it and they can do it again. Right. And so can you walk us through some of the new product that you come out with to make it easier for small and mid-sized companies that kind of make that first step, but maybe more self-learning, self-pace to get it done?
Yeah, absolutely. So what we did is I took the whole method of the Brand Trifecta and I built a product called the Brand Trifecta, and it's built for small businesses, marketing teams, sales teams that they're struggling to figure out how do they articulate this value to the customer in the right way. It's going to sound like them and feel like them, but deeply resonate with their audiences. And so what the program does is it takes you through a series of 90-minute sessions, anywhere between like 8 to 10, just like I would do as if I were in the room with a client. And most people are doing 1 or 2 sessions a week just to keep pace. So again, you can knock this out in a matter of weeks, but there's a couple core buckets of work that this program unpacks that I think are important. The first bucket of work, and I talk about this in the book too, is before you write the message, you need to understand at an organizational level how do we show up in the world? Like, what's our core brands? Like, I don't know, personality. And you may go, oh, that sounds so fluffy, but hang on a second. You ever tried to write an email and you look down at the draft of your email and you're like, well, that was a bunch of corporate mumbo jumbo BS. Have you ever like
yes.
done that? You're like, ah, okay. So
yep.
here's the thing is often when we try to write a message, it sounds terrible at first. And so one of the things that we have to ground ourselves in is who authentically are we as an organization and how do we sound? And this makes sure that when you then write a cool brand,
yep.
it sounds like you. The second thing is you got to know your target audiences. So the program does this really cool process of taking you through using all interactive content, by the way. It's all collaborative and interactive. But what you get to do is start to go deeper, Butch, on who am I actually going after and why? So who are my top target audiences? Like, I think I know at a high level, but do I actually understand the psychology of the humans behind that bucket? You can say you serve small to mid-sized manufacturers, and that's great. But if you walked into a room of 100 C-suite leaders of 100 mid-sized manufacturers, how do you know the 10 or 20 or 30 whose business cards you need to get? So this helps you understand that so that then you can move into the final piece of this program, which is actually putting pen to paper and writing the message. And this is really cool. This is where I, as a writer and brand strategist, what I help you do is learn how to actually write this thing, meaning you don't have to be a writer to show up in this. You can have just the concepts and you're going to come out the other end with messaging that actually makes sense. So that's the program in a nutshell. It's built for small to mid-sized companies, really realistic price point, and it's a one-time fee, one-time project, meaning you're not paying some annual subscription.
How often do they have access to it after they pay their fee?
Years. Like
years?
Years.
Got it.
I mean,
yeah,
I don't even have a closed door on it at this
That's
point.
That's fine.
If you want to
well,
come back
whole,
in
my...
10 years, great.
Yeah. Well, so the only reason I bring that up is it's a product that they could go in there and they could build their brand. Like you said, it's repetition, right? You might, yeah, the first time you write it, it's not going to be good. So maybe every year when you're doing your annual planning for the next year, you go through the program again. You know, fine tune what you did the previous year and just keep going. Right. And obviously they can still reach out to you and say, hey, we've done this. We think we need to go further. How do we do this, Kate? Right. And
right.
so, and that maybe that's the intent, right? You can, like you had said, mom of four, trying to manage business, you're traveling everywhere and doing speaking gigs and helping businesses. How do you help out more people if you can't get on the Zoom calls because you're busy helping others? And so you made a product that worked, but I assume, like, what happens, like, and what's your plan right now that people sign up for this program, they go through the process, and they're like, okay, we need to take the next level. So then how do you, if you duplicated the process that you were doing initially, how do you take them to the next level after they go through this program?
Well, really, ultimately, if they've gone through the program, they don't need me necessarily. Where they're going to get stuck is if they start to realize, like, we have such a complex set of messaging that we don't even know how to unpack this by ourselves. And this happens when you get mid-sized companies, larger companies that are like, we have 10 different target audiences, Kate. We've got to say totally different things to them, and they're all over the world, and it's this big convoluted thing. When you go through the program, your next steps are actually, and we have an entire implementation session that talks about, well, what are your next steps? What do you do with this message? Well, the most common things, Butch, that they're going to need to take care of are update your website with your copy, update your one-pagers, your proposals, your decks, your all the things. You know, here's the deal. You don't have to go crazy on this. A lot of times, especially if we're in services, if you're not running ads and SEO and doing those things, your first steps are simply to do copy swap in a very easy way in your materials and on your website. So that as you're out meeting people, they go check you out, they see your materials, it sounds like what you just wrote. It is the same thing. Over time, you can update things like social media, advertising, SEO, all of the other stuff, but it's not that convoluted or hard. This comes down to just taking the time to kind of parse the work out to the right people to get it updated quickly.
Listen up, Butch wants to give you your own elite benefits playbook, and it's absolutely free. From business strategy to benefits strategy, every step from the start through implementation, account setup, and open enrollment, working through service requests and the process of renewals, a valuable look at your company, your insurance options, and how to make the process easier on you. Go now to elitebenefits.net/playbook and get your free Elite Benefits Playbook. or give Butch a call today, 708-535-3006.
Like, how does the product differ for, and this is a random question too, but for like from sales reps perspective and company branding perspective, and does it change for, let's say you were this audience that's listening to this podcast comes mm-hmm. back and says, hey, I'm a sales rep, but my company's not willing to invest in it, but I make enough money, I can ante up for this. But then you have a company side. Is there a difference between the product and what the message is between the two?
At this time, no, we didn't decide for like separate messaging. Interestingly sure. enough, I've had a number of sales teams actually decide that they're going to go through it. They said, you know, this is not marketing budget right yeah. now. The yeah. company's not going to do it, but we need this or we can't close. Because what was right. happening is, and you know this, right? As a sales, right. and I come from oh, yeah. a sales background, like yep. you're out there and you're starting to see these symptoms of we're getting the wrong type of prospect at the table mm-hmm. or mm-hmm. dang it, our sales cycles are atrociously long or mm-hmm. how come our close rate is shifting right now?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so in these scenarios, it's a great opportunity for sales to look at this and go, sales, you are using a brand message. You don't have some mm-hmm. separate sales message from what marketing is pushing out. It's the same brand mm-hmm. message. And if you have the gumption to go in there and really identify who you're going after and why, and use all of that knowledge mm-hmm. that you've gathered to create a message that's going to help you close, do it. Go mm-hmm. do it. Yep. Because at the end of the day, that's the message you can take back to marketing and senior leadership. And all of a sudden they start to go, well, if it's working, mm-hmm. we're going to do this across the board. We're sure. going to make that happen.
I think that's great because sometimes corporate's not on board, right? Or they're going to do their own thing, right? But obviously things are changing. And speaking of things of changing, right? You're moving down a path. We talked about how storytelling is a trend right now, right?
Yeah.
But you're taking it one step further and you're like, just mute the megaphone. But where do you think going forward, where is this marketing and branding going to take? Like, because our attention spans are getting smaller. You got TikTok at 30 seconds to get people's yeah. attention. And so like, where do you think the future of branding is going to be?
I think the future of branding is that it's even going to be shorter on the front end. So what I mean by that is you've got to be really tight in your language in that first 15 to 30 seconds of what you're saying to somebody. And that's where mm-hmm. I think this brand perfected concept has some serious weight to it. Is people need you to get to the point quickly mm-hmm. and have it be very short sentences that they can visually scan, that they can hear boom, 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 boom. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then they get to this moment, this conversion moment where they opt in and they go, now that's interesting. I want to have a conversation. Now mm-hmm. let me go check out your explainer videos and your white papers and your blog posts. Or, hey, now can we set up a discovery call? You got me. When mm-hmm. can we connect? Here's my card.
Yeah.
You know, the idea here is that consumers need to know quickly if they want to take a next step. Whether you're a business or an end consumer, businesses are the same. Do not mm-hmm. waste my time getting on mm-hmm. 75-minute discovery calls. Not going to happen. Mm-hmm. So I need to know if I meet you, Bob, at an event, that if this is worth my time to spend 30 minutes out of mm-hmm. my day to mm-hmm. get on a call. And if I feel like this is not going to be something that I actually need and this is just a pitch, not going to happen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So those salespeople listening to this that keep sending at least me all those messages of trying to explain why I'm not getting back to them on their wonderful product, listen in on this, right? And so, hey, but before we wrap up, we've connected through a mutual friend. I don't know how long it's been now. It's got to be at least, years. What, 3, 4, or 5 years, right?
Yeah.
And so and there's one thing I want to point out about Kate during this whole time. I swear there's not one conversation we've ever had, either recorded or not recorded, that about your support team, right? And so you're traveling all over the country. And I tell you, your four kids are probably your biggest fans. And then on top of it, you go to LinkedIn and look at Kate's wall, if you want to call it that, all her posts. And in between, you'll see, you know, screenshots of FaceTime with your daughters. And I tell you, I just wanted to point that out because for those who are definitely family oriented, that's, you know, in business or in marketing and sales, that obviously you're very family oriented. You call your girls all the time. You're traveling oh, yeah. a lot, but you make sure that they're involved every step of the way. But it couldn't have been, you can't do any of that without your fan base.
You can't. And I'm so lucky to, you know, be in a second marriage. We have a big blended family and have an amazing spouse that supports me. He is amazing. And he lets me run my race, but also not to the detriment of our kids, you know, balancing this all and recognizing as entrepreneurs and as leaders, we always have choice of what we consider to be the most value adding things in our lives. And at the end of the day, you know, I almost had a heart attack 2 years ago. I share that in my book. I've gone through serious health journeys in the last 2 years, and we all have experienced things. And what are we prioritizing? Our goal is to have successful jobs and careers and businesses that create a means to an end of what we ultimately care about, so that we can continue to build a lifestyle where we have freedom. Ultimately, that's the goal. So for me, it's like always keep your eyes on that prize, because I don't want to wake up in 20 years. I don't know about you, Butch, but I don't want to wake up in 20 years and go, what was it all for?
Yeah. Well, obviously for our kids, right? Like that's our inspiration when we get home, right?
And
Yeah, for sure.
Well, sometimes
but
they beat me up emotionally. I mean, sometimes they're my inspiration.
yes. But that but builds character, right?
Yeah, my 5-year-old is kind of a narcissist these days. I don't know, Butch. No.
Yes. Well, definitely on that note, but you're having great success. Those who are listening to this, follow Kate. I'll have in the show notes how to get in touch with her on LinkedIn. And then I'll also have means of reaching out. If anybody need to reach out to Kate, they could go ahead and do so, either to give them a high five or give her a 5-5 or just say, hey, I need a little more help on this. Can you point me in the right direction? So Kate, as always, I appreciate the friendship and relationship with business and our mutual connections, as well as collaborating with me on the podcast.
Thank you so much for having me, Butch.